Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with author and occult researcher Matthew Deluz about Ferris wheels. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's one. Proof: smart meters are being used to spy on us. It's always good to have proof. This is written by Andrew Puhanik. If you've ever wondered if your smart meter is being used to spy on you, well, now there is proof that governments and private organizations are using data collected from smart meters to spy on you. Information about power usage, which can be used to identify when a home is being occupied, is being shared with third parties, of which include government agencies, private organizations, and offshore data processing centers. This unethical breach of privacy was discovered on the website of one of Australia's largest electricity retailer, Origin Energy. Electricity customers who signed up on an online service that provides the account holder with detailed information about their electricity usage are unwillingly agreeing to share their private information with third parties. A 496-word privacy consent policy form explicitly states that customers who wish to sign up for the service that provides them with information about their electricity usage must agree that the following organizations have access to their private data. One private organization that is being given personal information of Origin Energy customers is Tendril. You can't make this up. Tendril, a self-described consumer engagement application, an organization that believes smart grids can help fight climate change. Here's another story. I'm loving it. Fast food logos imprinted in children's brains, study says. Childhood obesity is a growing health concern in the public sphere, but for many of us, it also hits close to home. But while public health campaigns have singled in on parents providing children with unhealthy nutrition options and with poor examples of healthy eating, new research indicates that some of the problem may lie with fast food companies and their overly effective marketing campaigns. Using a functional MRI scanner, which measured blood flow to different areas in the brain, they watched the brains of these children react to different logos. When showed images of fast food companies, the parts of the brain that control pleasure and appetite lit up. The brains did not do the same when showed images from companies not associated with food. The brain's reaction may not seem like a big deal. After all, when someone mentions food, a common bodily response is to feel hungry. But researchers also found that children were more likely to choose the food branded with the logo with which they were familiar. Quote, the brains of children are imprinted with food logos, said Dr. Amanda Bruce, who led the study. Quote, without necessary inhibitory processes to aid in decision-making, youth are particularly susceptible to making poor choices about what to eat. The branding connected to obesity here. Here's another story that's going to connect with our guest. World's tallest Ferris wheel coming to Staten Island. Mayor Bloomberg said last week that the world's tallest Ferris wheel would rise above Staten Island waterfront. Staten Island Wheel, which I guess is a done deal, construction is expected to begin in 2 years with an opening goal of 2015. 1,440 people at once, 10 times as many as the Wonder Wheel in Coney Island. Some of it's being privately funded. The development is being built by two companies, New York Wheel and BFC Partners. In past shows, we've explored the ley line grid of New York City with guest Peter Shampoo. He showed us that the ley line nexus is in the harbor near the Statue of Liberty. The nexus is the point where energy lines of the area meet. The ley line center point of Washington, D.C., for example, is on the ground beneath the Capitol building, which was a meeting area of indigenous tribes. According to Peter Shampoo, there's a powerful flow of energy in New York City channeling through the lines amid 9 million people. Well, last week, Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced that the world's tallest Ferris wheel would rise 625 feet above the Staten Island waterfront. The wheel is expected to open 2 or 3 years from now. Our guest, author and occult researcher Matthew Deluz, has written about Ferris wheels, and in his 2008 article, Spitting Out the Feathers of the Bennu Bird, he points out some very interesting ideas. These things are going on all around the world on various scales, he writes. I've explained previously that Ferris wheels are notoriously uneconomical, so why are they appearing all over the place? Who's funding it all? The London Eye alone is losing £25 million a year. Why is this happening, you might ask? Well, simply put, my friends, and again I tell you the truth, placing a Ferris wheel in these locations basically turns the area into a sun temple, and whatever monuments or buildings that are in the same area also become part of that temple. To summarize it, Matthew says, hypnotism and symbolism is used to spiritually imprison and control the collective consciousness of the human race, the human energy that would naturally cycle back into and feed the planet is siphoned off, breaking the human energetic relationship with the planet Earth. We talk more about his research into Ferris wheels and the fleecing of human energy. Matthew Deluz, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me back, mate.
Well, it's always good to have you on because your research often pops right up in my thinking whenever I see articles or stories like this. And if you could, tell listeners a little bit about your research on Ferris wheels.
Well, basically, you're going back to 2004, where I had a very spiritual experience, and a basic five-sense experience at the same time. I was attracted to a festival that was taking place in England, in northern England, on a place called Morecambe. Mm-hmm. It's a seaside resort on the Fowle Coast, which I've been doing a lot of research into in the last 10 years or so. And basically, obviously to keep time down on your show, I went into a trance at a festival I was researching, and I was hypnotised by the Ferris wheel that was present. Because it was a nighttime festival, it was flashing away, was this Ferris wheel, and it was using electronic lighting, and basically I could see a massive pyramid and a sun disk, and I wrote about it at the time. I put it out in the public for free, and obviously people thought I was mad. The few people that actually looked into it thought I was crazy, and I can understand why. I mean, I'm just a bloke that's talking silly things about Ferris wheels. But I did predict in 2004, and it's been on the internet since 2004, that Ferris wheels would be put into the public view on a massive scale over the coming years, leading up to 2012, obviously, because 2012 was used as a milestone. And since that time, obviously, you're starting to see Ferris wheels all around the globe.
Right, just as you predicted.
Yeah, well, they're here. They're in New York now, it's right under your nose. A $500 million wheel is proposed to be built. I'm not saying it will be built. There has been red herrings put out into the public domain about Ferris wheels over the last few years, but I've got a feeling this one's going to be built. It amazes me that in a time of world recession, war, chaos all over the planet, that some people somewhere can come up with $500 million to build a fairground ride.
Well, Matthew, let me stop you there because I'm glad you brought that up. You had pointed out in one of your articles that the London Eye loses almost £25 million a year. And I was looking around just some articles on the Staten Island wheel that is a done deal. Private funds, $480 million of the $960 million project is privately funded. But there was an article that said it's going to be an economic draw to the area. What do you think about that?
Well, it's all propaganda as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how much extra income is it going to fetch into New York, a fairground wheel? You know, the people that go and visit New York anyway, they go and see your Statue of Liberty and all this caper, don't they? I don't think it's going to make a massive... people around the globe are not going to flock to New York City just to see a Ferris wheel. In fact, they're in major cities all over the world anyway. Now, in 2012. My own opinion is, before we go into details of it, is that the Ferris wheels are put there as a symbolic happening, a symbolic statue. Even though it's presented as a gimmick and a novelty and something to go on and have a ride on, it is basically an occult monument. It's on a par with an obelisk. That's what I want to point out to you. If you go into the history of the Ferris wheel, it is literally named after George Washington. The man who created the modern-day Ferris wheel was called George Washington Gale Ferris. So symbolically, the Ferris wheel is a Washington monument anyway, similar to the obelisk you've got in New York. If you trace back to how it was brought into being, then you're going back on similar to what we talked about last time about the Statue of Liberty, is the Ferris wheel was put into the public eye at a world fair. In this case, the Chicago World Fair in 1893. But if you delve deeper into its past and how it was created, then you find out that it's absolutely Masonic. The World Fair was created, designed and built by a man called Daniel Hudson Burnham, which Americans probably heard of far more than people in England. He was a high-ranking Mason. And he put a challenge out to the American people to create a structure, I'll quote him, a structure of comparable ingenuity and novelty. That means a thing that can mean an ambiguous structure. George Washington Gale Ferris come along with a Ferris wheel, and that was snapped up to be used in the Chicago World Fair. When you look into the history of Daniel Burnham as well, as far as New York's concerned, he was a creator of Masonic temples in America, especially in Chicago. He's also responsible for what I believe is a covert Masonic temple in New York, which I think you call it the Flatiron Building.
Yes.
But in my opinion, that was used as a covert Masonic temple, especially the higher floors, when it was first built. If people in New York want to have a look into that, they'll see that it's a pyramid. And obviously in a different way to the normal pyramid, but it's still a pyramid. The flat iron shape is a pyramid, and it was used as a covert temple. I don't want to go down that path, I just wanted to point that out.
Okay.
But the basic geometry of the Ferris wheel, if you look them straight on in the face, you'll see the massive sun disk is a circular wheel, and then you'll see like a ben pyramid shape at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I suspect a number of listeners are not familiar with what the Ben is, and if we can go on a quick tangent with that, Matthew.
If you look at a modern-day Ferris wheel on straight on, you'll see that there's a massive circular disc and basically a Ben shape. The Ben shape is a pyramid shape, the axis of what the wheel travels round on. Well, on a 5 cent level, obviously, to the average bloke in the street that's not interested in the Illuminati or secret societies or anything like that, it means nothing. It's just the shape of a Ferris wheel. But this shape is sacred geometry. It links back to the days of creation. The world was once said to be, even in the Bible, the Genesis, that let there be light. It was just a watery mess, a chaos. This is what the Freemasons use all their philosophy on and the symbolism. And what they've done with the Ferris wheel is they've put creation symbolism within the structure of the Ferris wheel itself. So what you're actually looking at on a symbolic level, on an higher level of understanding, is basically a map of what the Masons believe creation is all about. Things being created out of chaos. And if you imagine a chaos as a dark, watery surface, then you imagine the first stone coming out of the water, which the ancient Egyptians did, which obviously the Masons go off, and you imagine the light being created on the top of this Ben stone, which represents the earth, then what you've got is ancient creation symbolism personified in the Ferris wheel. Because the Ferris wheels are usually built or erected near water. The London Eye is built on the River Thames, you know. The one in Paris is built on next to a lake at the back of it. They always place them on or near water, or they put artificial water near them.
You're absolutely right, Matthew. I was looking on a few maps, and a number of the Ferris wheels, some of them movable, were located right near water, a riverway.
Because that is creation. You create it out of water. The Ben stone, the axle of the Ferris wheel itself represents the stone, that's Earth. And then the disc at the round the Ben represents the sun. So you've got the creation out of water of the Earth and the sun. And that's what the Freemasons are doing all around the planet now, the secret societies. They're implanting this symbolism, in my opinion, all around the globe. They're leading up to a date when they have a better idea of than we have. It'll be a complete combination of these symbols all around the planet. I believe the modern day started off at the millennium, 1999, during the winter solstices, where the first modern Ferris wheels we see happening today were created in London and Paris, on linking up an energy line there. Obviously, over the years, since the millennium, they've been built all over the planet. And I believe they're going to connect up and create a similar energy line to what we were talking about with the Statue of Liberty sort of thing and the rock and all this caper.
I think you're right on with this, and in line with our past guest's analysis of the ley line and the ley line nexus in the harbor, which I suspected was the Statue of Liberty. If you can go a little further into some of your research on Ferris wheels, specifically about how spiritual or human emotional energy is being fleeced.
Well, let's go into the Christian side of things, because it's very easy to explain. If you go in a normal Christian church, and I'm not picking on the Christian religion, I'm talking about all religions. If you go into a Christian church, you usually see a cross on the altar in front of the building. And what you get is you get your people in your church going in every Sunday, thinking they're doing a good thing, obviously. They're going in there, and basically they're praising in that building towards the symbol on the altar. Well, all the Ferris wheels are there for, mainly, talking from this point of view, is they will be used to get people to gather around them at certain events of the year. And they will be used literally as an altar place. And they are literally showing creation symbolism. And what happens is, New Year's Eve and parties, or July the 4th in America, in the future, there'll be thousands and thousands of people that will gather at these Ferris wheels. I've spent, I'm not talking from my armchair, about these things. I have been all over Europe over the last 10 years when I could. I've been to Amsterdam, I've been to Berlin, Brussels, I've been to Antwerp, I've been to many, many cities in Europe on New Year's Eve. And surprise, surprise, they wheel a Ferris wheel out for the New Year celebrations. Just recently, a couple of years ago, I was at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. Sorry. They wheeled out a brand new Ferris wheel there, massive, just behind the Brandenburg Gate. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people cheering away right in front of the Ferris wheel, because symbolically, the Ferris wheel is an altar and it represents creation. So therefore, when they're having these mass rituals like New Year's Eve and they're getting people to go and celebrate in front of them, they are actually praising the symbolism in front of them. Now, because it's creation symbolism, all the people are doing when they're praising and cheering in front of it on a spiritual level is saying they want to have the same creation happen again. Creation symbol is also, it's not just a sign of creation, it's a sign of an end of an age. It's a recreation as well. It's a rebirth. So what I believe spiritually goes on when people are attracted to these Ferris wheels at certain events of the year, they're actually praying for a new age, a new way, a new world. What I believe happens on a spiritual level, I know we're rushing into things here, but what I believe happens on a spiritual level is if the collective consciousness of the human race all prays something they want to happen, then universal law will make it happen. So on a deeper level, if the human race worship in front of these monuments, then the people that created the monuments get to rule us. This is the scam. I might be going a bit too deep there, yeah, Jeff, but this is the scam that's happening on the planet at the very moment in time.
I think it's okay to go in this direction right now, because a lot of the listeners to the show may remember you being on before, and we have followed up on that thread since you were on the show, because it is really deep material. You had pointed out as well that this energy, human energy, would naturally cycle back into and feed the planet Earth, but there's a middleman siphoning it off.
Exactly, the creators of the symbolism. The best way to explain it, which is I do at my talks, when I do my talks, is to imagine how you can extract energy off people using a monument or a structure on a spiritual level. I always explain to the people at the talks that if I had painted a beautiful picture and I stuck it on a stage and had 10,000 people watching me on the stage with this beautiful picture that I've painted, and all these 10,000 people cheered and loved my painting, then I would get their energy. I would feed off their energy because they love my painting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is what happens on a spiritual level. If some secret society puts their symbolism in front of you, and you say, oh, that's beautiful, I love this, so let's go and dance around it, then they will get the energy from you using the artwork that they put in front of you. And this is what's that. It's so simple when you work it out and you start thinking about things and you see what's going on in the world.
I think the trouble people might have, Matthew, is the invisibility of it. They can't see it.
Well, it's like, you know, like when people throw that at me, and you know, I get a lot of people do so. Then I say to him, "Well, how do you? When you've got, I've got a phone in my hand now. It's a mobile phone. It's no cord on it, Jeff. And you're talking to me from thousands of miles away, and yet your voice is invisible between this thing I've got in my hand." I always say this about Ferris wheels as well. I mean, you can see you've got a secret society that's using technology we haven't even got comprehended. Yet it's so simple to point out to people about invisible energies, as you mentioned, that what about the mobile masts that do your mobile phone calls? What's the difference? Where, how can you see the energy going between them?
Right. I'm glad you brought up the secret societies and the way they move monuments around. As you pointed out, they moved the London Bridge. You pointed out in past interview that you suspect the Statue of Liberty is built with certain kind of metal. It was built a certain way and near a ley line nexus in the harbor. They were done for specific reasons, using systems and technology that is really out of the public domain.
That's been the case since day one. Every invention is brought into the public domain is not used to help the public. It's to help secret societies carry out their agenda. They would leave us living in caves. They don't want us to have technology. The only reason we get all the technology is because they've got higher technology than that, and they want to use both together.
Oh, indeed. To propose and seal a development deal like this here in the city, of a Ferris wheel that people are obviously upset about because of the comments. You just look at the comments in some of the articles.
Yeah.
They're saying waste of time, waste of money. Why do we need some amusement ride for 1,400 people to ride on?
I've tried to get this across as best as I can for the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Your people in your truth movement, I'm calling the truth movement a lie movement, because the truth movement at the present moment in time is more interested in having celebrities dancing around on stages and getting money brought in. We're not being told the truth, we're being sold the truth. And the people in the truth movement now, they're not interested in giving you the truth, they're interested in selling you the truth. You know? These things about Ferris wheels, I put it in the public domain 10 years ago. Nobody has picked up on it, even though they've increased and increased and increased. I think the Ferris wheel information, now it's starting to come in New York City itself and places like that, then somebody has to listen somewhere. Because the people behind this, the billionaires that's living lives of luxury while the people are starving in the street, they're putting these monuments out on, right in front of your faces. And it's about time we actually got off as arses and I started asking the people that are doing these things questions. Because unless we do, we're going to be the same lie movement we are in 2012, in 2016. Because at the present moment in time, the lie movement, as I call it these days, are a bunch of cowards that are just up and down praising one or two people. I'm sorry if I'm getting passionate about this, but believe you me, I've gone through a lot of things in the last few months. People in New York City, let's start asking the money men, why are they building such... You know, as you say. And let's start really questioning them instead of running away and hiding. And let's get the people that's actually got a voice in the truth movement to pick up on it as well. Let the people that's got a voice in the truth movement actually ask these questions instead of just ignoring them. Forget that Matthew Deluge mentioned Ferris wheels. Let's pretend David Icke said it or Alex Jones. Let's pretend some superstar in the truth movement said it. And then we can all run behind and back it up and hang on their shirt tails. Because that's what the truth movement's turning into. Hanging on the shirt tails of celebrities. And that is not the truth that I think is coming to this planet if the people want it to come there.
One of the reasons why I like your work is because it's coming from the heart. It's coming from a spiritual place where it is a revelation that you had in your life, an awakening, a moment of awakening to see past the illusion of the amusement park or the entertainment. There's a lot of exchange of energy going on around us, and billionaires and these other sources of money are the gatekeepers of something.
Yes, of course, mate. I agree, totally.
Listeners, Matthew is the author of 3 books. You'll be wiser when you're older. The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We're Enslaved by the Serpent, and Is It Me for a Moment, Breaking the Serpent's Spell. Matthew has also written a lot of articles, and you can find the books and articles on his website. Matthew, can you give out your website, please?
I'm not out to sell any books or anything. People type my name in and have a look around the internet for if you want to look now. Just type my name in and hopefully they'll find something. I have a blog up that's got a few articles on, and there's a few people that's been kind enough to put my articles on the website. But I can only recommend you search for things, and if you want to know about Ferris wheels, then type Matthew Dilley's Ferris wheels into Google and see what comes up.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm in that situation at the moment. As I say, we're hoping to get One Ball Media up by the end of the year, which will be fully maintained and stuff.
That would be wonderful to have. And you've been attacked in the past. Your research has been stolen by people. But... you know, it all comes back to you. You are one of the first people to research this area in depth, and I certainly haven't forgotten that. But it's also a little unsettling for the future of human beings and generations to come, especially in the situation that we're in. I look at it as a long-range for generations to learn, because I don't see anyone dispersing secret societies, moving these giant monoliths, changing things around anytime soon.
I don't know how it's going to change, but it's not going to change unless people start asking questions themselves and asking within themselves what's actually going on. 980 million projects going on in New York. This is not staged alien invasion fantasy. This is fact, right in front of your faces. Let's question the Freemasons. Let's say what you're putting these monuments here. Let's look into it. Let's just go off the basic Freemasonic information I've provided about the Ferris wheels. That is not delusional fantasy of some paranoid schizophrenic. This is fact, 5 cents fact. The Freemasons on this planet that created the Ferris wheel in the first place are plonking them everywhere all over the planet. Let's go into them, let's question them. Let somebody mainstream pick it up. It's not fantasy. It's not delusion. They're right there in front of your face. Let's tell the homeless that they can't have a home because some rich people are going to build a Ferris wheel on an island. And let's go down that path. That's not fantasy, is it, Jeff? It's right in front of the faces.
Indeed.
The first major Ferris wheel that was presented to the world eye, or the world mind, was the London Eye, which was placed at the River Thames. That was named the British Airways London Eye, the bar. Now, in Freemasonic terms, the bar is a soul. So what you had in London in 1999, the millennium, same as Paris, is the eye of the soul. The eye of the soul. And from that eye of the soul, they've created an energy line by linking up the Ferris wheels all around the globe. They use different symbolism for different cities. Plus, not only that, Jeff, when they illuminate these Ferris wheels, the lighting systems they have these days, they can put any occult logo on the wheel and flash it away to everybody that's watching it. That's why they use them at Super Bowl and things like that in America, because the millions of people are focusing on that thing. And what the major point of having these Ferris wheels is to impregnate into the collective mind the creation symbolism, simply because the Freemasons and the serpent cult are above the Freemasons. Freemasons are only a small part of it. But what the point is they want to get into the collective mind of the people on the planet that a new world is coming, a change, a new age is coming. And they want it to be the same as it was in the last age. All they're doing is renewing their power over us and our enslavement. That is all they want to do. These people, this force, enjoy having us miserable. They enjoy having us suffer. They enjoy us killing each other. They enjoy everything that goes on the planet. But what these people want, what this force wants us to do, is go and celebrate at their monuments every so often, so they can renew their power over us. I can't get that point across more to your listeners. That is why they have us celebrating New Year. That is why they have us celebrating Christmas, because we have to give our permission for them to do what they're doing to us. And that's why we surrender to them. That's why we're enslaved by the serpent. Because we surrender our power to their monuments. And if we surrender our power to their monuments, we surrender our power to them and their masters. And that's what it's all about. It's all about surrender and wanting to be a slave in this world.
Matthew Deleuze, we're at the bottom of the hour, and we're about to open the phone lines to take listeners' calls. If you have any comments or questions for our guest, Matthew Deleuze, please call us at 212-209-2900, and we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Our guest, Matthew Deleuze, is up late with us, and he's out there in the UK, and we really appreciate him helping to decode reality and let us know what's really going on around us. Matthew, are you ready to take calls?
Yeah, sure, Jeff, Matt. Fire away.
Okay. We're going to go to the first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. This is quite fascinating, but my theory is that we're in Armageddon. I think we can't reverse anything that's already propelled at almost like a suicide mission. I really almost believe that it will be the end of the world December 21st, because everything that's happened, one of the last things, the earthquake in Indonesia, it's going horizontal. It's connected continents. There's so much destruction now. I don't think there's any. I'm not just being a defeatist, mm-hmm. saying this, but I think this Ferris wheel is a dubious achievement award. I mean, the expression "going around in circles" means that you're confused. You're not going anywhere.
Right, cycling, although there is the spiral.
Well, like, I can only say that's your opinion, that it's Armageddon. I can understand why you say that, and I can understand that a lot of people think the world is going to start or end on the 21st of December this year. That is, in my opinion, that's another scam to focus the collective energy onto the solstice time. The world, in my opinion, the world's not going to end on the 21st of December. And if anybody wants to bet me on it, I'll take the bet. I won't be able to pay you, like, if the world does end on the 21st of December. It's a different subject talking about the 21st of December. But in my opinion, it's just focusing on the winter solstice, summer solstice. A totally different subject that we need to discuss.
That's true. It is. It's but it sounded a little defeatist, caller. But we appreciate the comment. We're going to
I'm not saying she's defeatist. What happens is, if the world is going to end and we're immortal, let's go and escape somewhere good then before it does. You know, that's what I'm saying. Or at least try and stop the mass hypnosis that's going on towards the populace of the globe.
Oh, exactly. That's very true. Matthew, we got another call. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, hi, Jeff. It's Cindy Laverty. Yeah, I'm happy to hear Matthew Deleuze. Oh, my God, I have to go in another room. Yeah, I had some thoughts. I've been an admirer of Matthew's for some years. Actually, we talked about this some years ago. I was thinking about him the other day when I was in the subway and looking at a very alluring dystopian poster for a new movie, and there was prominently displayed a Ferris wheel. And this is not the first time I've seen that sort of thing, just for no particular reason. A looming Ferris wheel in the back of this, like, darkest vision of our future. And also, I'm, you know, a little bit interested in free energy, and I've seen depictions of the Dini motor, and I thought, oh, kind of looks like a Ferris wheel, and also there's a lot of copper in it. And then just tonight, while Matthew was speaking, I thought, Ferris, Effie, isn't that the shorthand for the element iron? Or no, copper? Oh, maybe it's iron. Maybe there goes that theory, right?
Well, it's a metal. Matthew, what do you think?
I just believe that the Ferris wheel is going to be... It's been increasing appearing on the planet over the last 10 years, as I predicted, and it's just going to increase and increase and increase, and it's going to be at most sporting events, most musical concerts. It's going to be in movies. It's going to be literally in your face every day, adverts on the TV. Over the next few years, you're going to be bombarded with the symbol, simply as I've tried to explain earlier, because it's the end of the age, and they want it's creation symbol, end of the world symbol, symbolism, and to complete the agenda that the serpent has, in my opinion, then we're all going to have to be impregnated with this symbol and what it represents, and that is not going to stop. It's going to increase. And we'll watch out for it and see. We'll see, won't we?
Indeed. Thank you, Cindy, for that question and comment. We really appreciate that. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air with Matthew Deleuze.
Good evening. I'm not going to agree with the last two poo-pooers. I think we really got to worry a little bit more about the Mandela machine that is the black box, which is going to affect our next election. In recent shows, you've talked about the ley lines going through Salt Lake City. And as we have Karl Rove sort of running the show now, we need to get everybody out to watch our voting places and for all of our hackers to watch things that go into Chattanooga, because I really think this is just a big snow screen of the fascist movement to take over our whole lifestyle and suck it dry. Harvest it, as Mr. Romney recently talked about how he harvested businesses.
Very, very good points. Yeah, we do go out on a limb on this show, but it's very few people like Matthew Deleuze bring this material forward. And look what has happened to him. He's been ridiculed. But this is an important dimension to really absorb and understand. Thank you, caller. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Matthew, do you have a comment on that call?
I've no insight into the black box thing and the election thing. I haven't researched it. Obviously, the everything on this planet is corrupt. So yeah, I can only believe that the stuff like that goes on within it, you know. But as I say, I've no insight into it. I've not researched it, mate.
Okay, caller, we'll be definitely looking into that topic in the future shows. We're going to go to the next call.
Hi, Brandon here. Matthew, I certainly agree with everything you're saying about the profanity of the modern Ferris wheel. Jeff, could you just briefly describe for our guest here the Serpent Mound and its possibly sacred use by the Native Americans in terms of a horizontal American zodiac in the Ohio Valley, in the sense they were more sacredly attuned to, say, the magnetic field lines and using the serpent as sort of a representative of that force of the earth, and that the people were there to give a sacrifice to, say, a place of joining to, you know, as above, so below. They believed that the star gods were, you know, their, you know, ancestors. So I agree with Matthew's premise that the vertical Ferris wheel and its hub and its turning is, you know, profane. So we could have a possible quick description, Jeff, you know what we're talking about here in terms of Ross Hamilton's work, and I'm not trying to justify it, but I think there's a big difference of the ancient people's sacredness versus the modern profanity. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Brandon. I appreciate that. You know, Matthew is referencing the Serpent Mound in Ohio and its long history with indigenous research and the indigenous people.
All that's ever been done is ancient beliefs and systems have been raped and pillaged and adopted to use against humanity instead of for humanity. Obviously, that's a big subject to go into. But yes, I can only agree that when the Spanish went over to South America and ancient South America, the Aztecs and the Mayans and all the powers they had and all the rituals they had, they were just taken over. The rituals are still being used today, and if you look deeply into it, we haven't had a lot of time on air to go into everything about what's going on with the Ferris wheels, where they're located and what's going on. But briefly, even if you look at just Staten Island itself, I'm an Englishman, I've never been to New York, I don't know the layout of everything, I'm only going off what I can see on the internet on this matter. But the Ferris wheel symbol being used there is also being plonked on an ancient burial site. I mean, I believe there was something called used to have a landfill there, River Kill or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Americans have done, what the authorities in America have done, have created a sacrificial site on Staten Island. They've bunged all the remains of 9/11 in your ground on Staten Island, and they've bunged their symbolism on the top using the Ferris wheel. There's nothing different with that than what happened in the ancient Indian times in the burial grounds. These rituals are being done right under your noses and nobody's doing anything about it because it sounds so silly. But the basic facts are, I'm saying this to the people of New York City, nobody else, the basic facts are that's gone on Staten Island is you've got an ancient burial ground there and they have stuck their moniker on it. And that is what's going on with the Ferris wheels. But as I say, people think you're crazy. People are so wrapped up in their own egos, they won't even dare to travel down that path and look into it. But believe you me, I'm telling you the truth. This is what has gone on Staten Island. It's an ancient burial ground with a cross stuck in it. And that's basically what's gone on. I hope that helps the fella that's just rang in anyway.
Matthew, thank you for explaining it. We got another call on the line.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. We have real problems here, Matthew, with food insecurities and pantries with low foods to offer the people and record numbers of school children, you know, who are living in shelters. And I open the newspapers and I see that we're going to have the world's largest Ferris wheel and it's going to be on Staten Island. That's really offensive to me. I'm wondering and I'm hoping that you have experience getting people to fight against the construction of these monstrosities in lieu of social needs. Could you address that, please?
Well, Well, yeah, I don't think I can do a one-man crusade to stop them building them. I can only put my explanation of the symbolism involved and what I actually believe. If the planet wants these things to go ahead, then there's nothing I can do to stop it. The people on the world are all watching these things go on. As far as the people's concerned, the poverty and the homelessness and that creates a different sort of energy that they want to attract. The serpent cult, as I call it, want misery on the planet. They put it into certain areas. That's why we've got slum areas all in different cities around the world. They're purposely created. That's why we've got prisons in certain areas around the globe, because that's where they want negative energy. And they exploit every bit of misery is planned to the minute detail, and it is created purposely to create a certain sort of energy. Well, that is why we have so much poverty. That's why we have so much misery in certain areas of cities and not in others. It's all created to be like this. The only thing we can do is get up en masse and question what's going on, and ask why £980 million can be spent on a fairground ride and these children starving to death or being butchered all around the planet.
Caller, can you say that one more time?
I said I'll certainly call my council person tomorrow. I certainly will do my bit, and I encourage other people to call, because the mayor just made his opinion known to us without even letting us have a referendum on this.
Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah, thank you.
It's just madness. It's just madness. It's just blatant corruption, blatant exploitation of wealth.
Matthew, we have another call on the line. We're going to go to that. Hi, you're on the air with Matthew Deleuze.
This is Alan from Flushing calling in. Another wonderful show. Matthew, I'm calling because I want to relate to some other proposed developments in New York City to the proposed Ferris wheel. Actually, it's not proposed anymore. But in Flushing Meadow Park, which is a large area, the city is now proposing to take part of the parkland away and create a major soccer stadium, as well as expand the U.S. Tennis Open Center. These sports arenas are growing, and at the same time, the alignment of the park is directed right toward the Statue of Liberty and the bay. So what they're trying to do is create these new venues that will bring in more people and suck more of the energy out of them. But the good news is that the communities surrounding this proposed development are fighting it.
Corona Park, where the World's Fairgrounds.
Yeah, I'm sure this is ASG shit, lad, isn't it? Yeah, I'm talking to you about saying.
Yeah, hi.
The ancient stadium, ancient stadiums, modern stadiums are just the same. They're placed on energy lines. The Colosseum in Rome is just the old version of the new stadiums you see around you. They're all placed on energy lines. And more recently than not, what they're doing is they're placing shopping malls in the same locations for the corporate logos. And so what you have there, you have a double whammy of placing a lot of people in one on one energy line, plus the corporate logos at the same on the same line as well. So all the cheering and all the energy involved goes to feed the people that's created the corporate logos, the Masons and whoever. And it's just a unification of logo and energy, and that's all it's ever been in the history of the planet. They've always done this. The Nazis are a good example during the Nuremberg rallies. You get a mass of people, and they get their sun logos or whatever logos they want to use, and they place them together. And that's exactly what's going on in the place you've just mentioned. It's going on all over the planet. Unfortunately, they're not all fighting back like they are in the place you've just mentioned. They just get steamrolled. And at the end of the day, money usually wins the day. Money and jobs and things usually wins over. So although I appreciate what you say about the people fighting back, I'm sure there'll be a tidal wave against them at some stage or other, and the thing will go ahead.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because the history of the location is it was a former ash dump. And a lot of people don't know this, is that there's a large underground river underneath the property as well. So we have the water right there as well.
Yeah. People don't look into the history of things, you know. People on the Staten Island thing with the Ferris wheel, people slowly forget that it was a landfill and these 9/11 remains there. The bones of people and whatever. People forget, you know. These people always plan it way in ahead and in advance, and it's always got a cult meaning to it. You know, but we're bombarded, we're struggling to live, and these things go out of his mind, and we don't concentrate on it, we just let it ride. But yeah, of course, yeah. Energy lines. I'm located on one myself at the present moment in time, and that has a canal running under it. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you totally.
Right, it's very purposeful, and it's very obvious to people who are enlightened. But to a lot of people in the community, they might think it's a good thing. But a lot of people now are rising up and trying to fight this type of development, especially in a parkland.
Yeah, well, I can't see whenever a good thing, that nothing ever changes on the planet.
The excuse, Matthew, in the newspapers is economic development. So that's why people think it's a good thing. I remember reading a story on WNYC, and they had this man from England talking about how economically fruitful the London Eye is. And obviously you pointed out that that's not true.
And I'll tell you, there's a reason why Mayor Bloomberg ran for a third term, because it's under the third term that all of this stuff is going on, an illegal third term. Gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. It was great to hear your voice, Matthew, and I'm listening to the show and enjoying it muchly.
Thanks, Alan from Flushing. We're going to go to another call.
Hey, hi. How are you, Jeff?
Good.
I just wanted to say, this is Antonio, one of the best lines and realization I've heard Matthew say, and again on your show and ever on PAI, one of them anyway, is he said, they don't want to tell you the truth. They want to sell you the truth. And I just paused and just like, oh, my God, so many things opened up. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And Matthew, do you think when we should learn about these symbols and try to stay away from them, I gather, right? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I don't want anybody to do anything they don't want to do. I'm not saying you could stay away from them. You can't stay away from them if you want to learn about them. What's concerned me over the last 4 or 5 years is the madness of the actual truth movement itself going down paths that's just not connectable. And it seems that it's more important to sell you a story and entertain you than actually get into any nitty-gritty truths. I pointed out the theories of the staged alien invasion that were going to take place at the Olympics in London, and how much energy that took away from the truth movement for so many years, and how many dollars were involved and pounds were involved in buying and selling books on the matter. I've been into truth since 1998, for 14, 15 years now, and I have never, ever, ever chased a book called Chased a Pound Note, yet I'm still sore on my feet. I have never found any truth by trying to sell anybody anything or buying anything. I think the truth is within us, and if we want to know the truth, then we will go to the truth on our own 2 feet. We do not need it selling to us. That's all I can say on the matter, really. I'm not criticising any particular person that's selling the truth to within the truth movement, but I think it's in the last couple of years, it's getting beyond the joke. And I get people contacting me complaining about people that's selling them stuff that's a load of rubbish, hippie trips and this, that, and other DVDs and books, book after book saying the same thing. That is not. We're not going to do any truth going down that path, in my opinion.
Well, I want to thank the callers for wonderful questions and comments. Matthew Deluz is the author of 3 books, You'll Be Wiser When You Are Older, The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We Are Enslaved by the Serpent, and Is It Me for a Moment, Breaking the Serpent Spell. These books can be found on Lulu, I believe. I saw it there. If you want to find more about Matthew Deluz, just type his name into a search engine, and you can find it. You spell his last name, Deluoze. Matthew, thank you for staying up with us and the listeners of this wonderful station this evening.
Well, I thank the callers for calling in and actually getting some discussion going on it, and I thank you for putting it out there, mate.
You bet. And I want to have you back on the show. And thanks again, and have a great night.
Okay, bud. See you later.
See you later.
Thanks, everybody.
That's going to do it for In Other News for a little bit. We'll be back next month, I believe. But there are some fundraisers coming up. Again, listeners, come out and be with us. Theater 80, October 7th. That's a Sunday at 3 p.m. Screening Why in the World Are They Spraying? Michael Murphy will be there. We'll all be there. Be really great to meet and gather.